I speak to you in the name of the God of Elijah. Amen. What will happen when your turn comes? What will you think and feel when the mantle is passed to you? When you turn from acolyting the one you honor and take up that cause yourself, what fear will crease your courage? One of the great delights of living in Buffalo for so long was our proximity to Canada. You know, that country way up there. From our house, it was 5 minutes to the Peace Bridge. We go across the bridge and on to Fort Erie and Niagara Falls and to Toronto and wherever we wanted to go. Of special delight was our nearness to two Canadian treasured institutions. The Shaw Festival in Niagara-on-the-Lake, presenting from April to November, plays by George Bernard Shaw and other playwrights of his era. And the Stratford Festival in Stratford, offering Shakespeare and other classic theater. My wife and I, on our 30th anniversary, now 21 years ago, drove to Stratford to enjoy a weekend of good theater. We saw Much Ado About Nothing by Shakespeare and The Cherry Orchard by Chekhov. Shining performances of both plays, with the cream of Canadian actors spending their summer and their fall bringing grandeur and conflict to life on the stage. Several of the performers have been at Stratford for 30 or 40 years. They are the heroes. They were the heroes of the young actors in all the provinces. The best of these great veterans was a man in his 70s, Benedict Campbell, 39 years at Stratford, having played leading roles abundance, but in this time playing the small part of a butler in Chekhov's haunting story of a vanishing world. He was the best we saw, by far. And I could tell by watching him that he was doing his best to show the way to the young people of his grandchildren's age who hoped to pick up the mantle of Canadian classical theater and cross the river with it. But I couldn't tell as easily what was going on inside the young men and women in their first or third season at the festival. Those who were still new to their craft, followers and students for some years, now ready to go forward. It's a hard place to be. One day you can hardly restrain your exuberance and excitement. The next day you hope you're not called. Another day you know exactly what to do. The next, you're afraid. When you have to stop following and start leading, that's a moment of grace and terror. Many years ago, in the mid-1970s, I served as the second curate of All Saints Church in Fort Lauderdale. Now, in the pecking order of, you know, power and prestige, that's like the bottom. I was the second curate. I knew everything. I must have, because the rector gave me a lot of things to oversee. Often I told my wife that I wish the rector would do this or that or do everything better than he did. Some days I even fantasized about what I would do if I were rector. Well, I became rector, though not there. Good thing, too, because I didn't know everything. And I remember the days when I picked up the tattered remnant of the mantle of ministry I had received and tried to strike the water. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where are you, O God of Alan? I felt like the rabbi quoted in the New York Times Magazine About Men column, who complained it was really hard being a rabbi. At the age of 28, he was expected to have wisdom beyond his years. He was expected to call the bankers, attorneys, doctors, and professors at his temple Abe, Noah, Jacob, and Harold. And they called him Rabbi. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? It's the dilemma of all followers become leaders, or the terror of all disciples whose master leaves. So it is a gospel dilemma, at least for Luke. Jesus and his disciples passed through a village which shunned them. They were Jerusalem bound, and nobody wanted anything to do with them. As they left that village, the disciples fussing and vindictive at the villagers, "Shall we call down fire upon them?" said James and John. Somebody felt it was necessary to reassure Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go. I will uphold my part of the play. I will oversee the parish with great wisdom. I will say the right thing. I hope." But Jesus must have known what the Master always knows. The disciple is never ready until the time arrives. "Follow me," he called to another friend. "When I have put everything in order, Lord, then I will follow. When I have said my farewell and satisfied all my needs, then I will go." And Jesus said, "Now. Now is the time to cross the river and go forward. If you wait until you think you're ready, you will never move." So I've been thinking about the grandeur of the Stratford actor Benedict Campbell and the young people who were waiting to be like him someday. And I recall my old rector fondly, and I remember the bitter delight of Elisha's fear and joy. Somewhere in our church, a priest is being called to serve as rector of St. Catherine's Church. He or she will not be ready until the time comes. What will you do when your turn comes? It already has for some of you. Others are waiting restlessly or haltingly. And so what will you feel and think when it is your time? In the fall, we will once again call ourselves to be good stewards of the treasures God has given us. We don't just stop doing this stuff because we're in an interim time, you know. There is a stewardship committee, and they are already, I'm sure, thinking about the campaign for this year. How about we call our campaign this year, "It's Up to Us"? That could be our theme for this entire interim time at St. Catherine's. For generations, our ancestors have followed Jesus and shown the way to the reign of God. But they left us. Our leaders left us. Our forebears left us. They died. They left. They went away. They always do. And like Elijah, they leave us gasping and hoping they may stay. With a hoarse father, mother, friend, as we stand looking up or back or behind. But one day, this day, it's up to us. In 1998, it was up to a generation of Canadian actors born after the Montreal Olympics to pick up the mantle of national heroes and take a theater festival into its future. And every day and every moment, it's up to us to follow Jesus, even though his face is set toward Jerusalem. We're never ready. We're never ready. We have fathers and mothers to bury, many at home to salute. Our momentary exuberance is quickly smothered by our unreadiness. But you know, every year at Passover, there's an empty chair at the table. It is prepared and waiting for whom? For Elijah, should he return at that moment. I think Elisha must have discovered, as the river parted and he crossed over, that Elijah had not entirely left him. The mantle fit Elisha well, but differently. And the Lord, the God of Elijah, was, behold, also the God of Elisha. We are not called to be Elisha. Not even asked. We are not called to be Elijah. We're not even asked to stand next to him in Elisha's place. Remarkably, we are not even recruited to take the place of James and John, nor the anonymous person who plunged after Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. We are just called to recognize that it's up to us. So, step forward in faith. Ready or not, touch the water and know that God called us across. I know the uncertainty. I know the false confidence sometimes. I have felt the momentary terror of new expectations. You may be tired in your journey. You may be sad and upset that our leader has left. You may wonder whether it's worth the effort to fix whatever you may think is wrong at St. Catherine's. You may want others to fix things for you. You may be worried. You may be angry. You may be excited. You may be hopeful, or you may be puzzled. But now, it's up to us. And the best of all is, God is with us. Amen.